Welcome to a special episode of Crit Like a Girl. This week we will be releasing our mini-series, Women's Voices in TTRPG. One of the missions of our group as a whole is to make a welcoming space for everybody, no matter race, gender, sexual orientation, or background. As a first real step towards this goal, we chose to spotlight some amazing female creators on Twitter during Women's History Month. To further expand on that, we decided to share the experiences and advice from other female players and DMs in the community. So without further ado, let's get into our first interview.
If you would like to introduce yourself and what you do and what you get up to.
Sure. So my name is May. That's my online handle. I do an incredible amount of role play. I'm in three different D&D games at this moment, and I have been an officer in my role play guild in ESO for the past 2.5 or 3 years. And I've been heavily involved in roleplay in MMOs for, probably 8 or so years now. I am a trained musician. I actually went to school for classical violin performance and have since taken a sharp left turn into working in finance and just doing so much roleplay in so much.
That's awesome, and I 100% get that. How did you originally get into doing MMO roleplay?
My husband invited me to World of Warcraft. That was a game that he had played in the years before we had known each other. I was a very involved raider at the time, and when my raid team blew up, one of my guildies was like, you know, I'm a role player. Do you want to try it out sometime now that you have free time? And as it turns out, I did have some free time, but I don't anymore because it's all spent role playing.
And how did it go from there and into TTRPGs?
A lot of it was more just friends made along the way, which I realize is kind of a funny line to give for that sort of scenario. But, you know, you meet people when role-playing and you form OOC friendships. And from there, if somebody is starting up a game or already participating in a game and somebody else has to step out, they're like, hey, we have an opening in our party. Do you want to come give it a shot? And I'm definitely a yes and kind of person. So when I got the opportunity to play D&D for the first time about 3 years ago, I jumped on it. I was a little nervous because it was a whole new rule system I had never encountered before, but I picked it up pretty quick and I've been going 60 miles per hour ever since.
That's awesome. How long ago was that?
About 3 years ago. I've been a part of three different games that have since concluded, two of which have recently started up with new adventures. Actually, like last week and this week, those two games are beginning.
Awesome. That's always very exciting to play new campaigns with the same people, or
a little bit of both. One DM is a former guildie of mine who, when he stepped out of the guild, he had the time to begin running his own campaign, which is something he wanted to do for a long time. And being that we're friends, he invited me to go play with him. And I invited a few other friends along with for the ride, and we played with his wife, that sort of thing. And then the other game was a guildie who had a party member in an active campaign had to depart, and so they had an opening, and the guildie was like, hey, do you want to come fill in? And I was like, oh, absolutely.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you are mostly a player, is that correct, in like D&D and stuff?
In D&D, yes. I am not currently DMing any Dungeons & Dragons games. In my MMORPG, a lot of the work that I do is in a DM capacity, though.
I'm curious, how does that differ? Well, have you ever DM'd for D&D?
I have not DM'd for D&D. I'm heavily considering it, but I'm aware that it's a big commitment in both, like, time, intellectual and emotional energy. There's a lot of pre-planning that goes into crafting a space that other people can play in. So I haven't done that within D&D. though I would love to at some point. Within MMORPGs, there is the convenient existing framework of our guild and its narrative that I can kind of already work within. So in a way, it's a little bit like working within a module, because you've already got kind of the story set. You just need to figure out like how you work within that. And there's already a rule system in place, which is convenient because then you don't have to start from scratch in that regard. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Which is, it's interesting. Again, I don't know a lot of MMO, so that's an interesting way to frame it as kind of module-esque.
Yeah.
Obviously a different.
I will make the point really quick that all my D&D games are largely voice-based, whereas in MMORPGs, it's all largely text-based. So there's a big gap in implementation. In ESO, it's all typed. So you have to be really good about translating your thoughts in a way that's very skimmable and digestible. Whereas you have a little more time too to like process your actions, because your fingers go a little slower than your mouth usually. Whereas in D&D, you have to be ready to just like spit out whatever you're gonna do. It needs to be very immediate and in the moment.
Yeah, I 100% get that. While I haven't done MMO, I have done both text-based and voice-based, and I 100% agree. Actually, do you have a preference as to which one you prefer?
Yeah, I vastly prefer being able to be in voice. I feel like I just do a lot better, and I can be more creatively free when in the moment acting out a character in voice, or occasionally we'll have cameras on so you can see my gestures and facial expressions and that sort of thing. Sometimes when typing, yes, it gives you more opportunities to fine-tune details, but it also, in my experience, gives more opportunity to second-guess details. Whereas if you say, like, you know, I cast Guiding Bolt, it's done now. Mm-hmm. You just get to deal with that moving forward, you know?
It's over. You said the thing. We'll figure out the repercussions of that.
It happened, and you just get to move forward with it now. There's no take-backsies, so.
I'm curious, just because I know I have. Have you ever had any moments where you did that in a campaign and said something and about 3 seconds later were like, that was a decision and now I have to live with that?
Yeah, I can think of one example in particular if you want a quick elaboration.
Please, I would love stories. Stories are the best.
It was in a Waterdeep campaign. I was playing a tiefling warlock named Rosie, and we were exploring a noble's house. I can't remember the exact plot point, but we were trying to explore Noble's house, trying to learn something. I opened up a door and there was a guy standing there who he seemed threatening in the moment. And so my character's immediate response was she pulled out like some sand from her pocket and just flung it in his face to cast the spell Sleep. Mm-hmm. She straight up pocket sanded. Only I rolled really poorly, and unbeknownst to me, he was several levels ahead of me. So even if I had rolled like max on the dice, I still would not have put this man to sleep. There was just no way that particular action was going to work out. I had no way of knowing. However, I figured out shortly afterwards when he took like 2 actions, stabbed the shit out of my character, it immediately downed me in 1 round. I was like, oh, I have made a mistake. And the guy just looked at the rest of the party and was like, and if you want to try anything else, I dare you. Otherwise, I'm going to be on my way. And they're like, yep, you got it, dude. Good luck with that. And just like let the guy walk away so they could try to stabilize my character. But oh, it was immediate. No hesitation. As soon as I said sleep and it failed to work and then I got stabbed twice, I was like, oh, that could have gone better. I could have done that a little differently, I think. Welp. Good lesson learned. Don't mess with that guy.
That is a good lesson to have in any campaign. It's just like,
read the room a little bit more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always a fun moment when you fight someone, you're like, ooh, they're going to come back later, I'm assuming, or...
Yeah.
So I am curious, both in D&D and in the Guild you plan, does that tend to be more... Do you tend to have like fairly neutral circles? Do you tend to have more men in those circles, more women? What's the general like makeup of your like gaming circles?
A lot of the communities that I'm a part of are pretty evenly balanced in terms of gender identity and sexual expression and identity. I feel like I kind of hit the jackpot a little bit in my guild, especially. like 90% of the office or team are women. You know a couple of them personally. There's Sildwyn, and then there's, I think she goes by Poppy, Stephanie. They're both officers in the guild that I'm a part of. And the D&D games that I participate in are, so two of them are 50% women, and then one of them is like 20 or 30% women. So I'm never the only woman in the room, which I know has been the case for a lot of other ladies that are trying to get into online communities, is they usually feel like the lone representative. But that's never been the case for me, and I feel, I don't know, that's nice. It's nice to have varied forms of company.
That is entirely valid. I've been in groups that it was a bunch of guys.
And they can be great sometimes.
I have also been in one of my groups right now. We do have a variety of gender makeup, but the running joke is that our entire party is a bunch of disaster lesbians because every single one of us plays a queer female character.
Incredible. Yep.
It is my favorite. Do you typically find yourself in that case? Do you tend to play female characters more often? I read your bio earlier and looked. You use she, they pronouns, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
And so a lot of my characters tend to use either she or they. So there's Rosie, who's definitely a she, her. That's the tiefling warlock that I play. In the campaign on Saturdays that just wrapped up, I was playing a changeling bard named Ains, who exclusively went by they, them pronouns. I am currently, I just played session zero last week on another changeling, don't tell anyone, cleric, who is disguising themselves as a halfling named Ruby, who outwardly goes she, her. However, you know, they're changelings, so they kind of go whichever way they feel like, depending on the need, you know? And then I'm coming up, I'm playing a wildfire druid named Petra, who's she, her. So a lot of the characters that I play are somewhere in the middle of the spectrum or more leaning femme, which is also kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, which entirely makes sense.
You play what you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Sometimes you venture outwards to explore life. I have a few friends who are on like a personal OOC level. They're cis men, very comfortable in the identity they were assigned at birth. You know, they're dudes. Mm-hmm. They're fine with it. All of their characters are queer women. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's kind of cool that the RP world affords you the opportunity to explore other positions and perspectives than your own that maybe you wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah. No, it totally makes sense, and I do think one of the best things about RPGs in general is getting to explore things, whether that be, you know, a character who's a different gender to you, or a character who has gone through experiences that are very unlike yours, or sometimes similar to yours, but expressed in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Or if you've had a certain experience in your life that maybe you want to see how it might have turned out differently in a fantasy setting. Like, you know, say if magic were a factor in it, how would that play out for somebody who has a similar background to you, but is suddenly put into a universe? And you can not only explore other experiences, but other ways to manifest your own experiences too in sort of a sandbox setting.
I think that's a really good way of putting that. I know you are very, very focused on role play heavy games. That tends to be what you go
big
for.
Time.
Since your play style is very focused on role play, do you find that playing female characters versus playing more neutral characters is a different experience with different groups?
Yeah, I would say so. And just in my experience, that kind of varies on the community that you're a part of and the people that you choose to associate with. So like when I was playing in World of Warcraft, for example, I was part of a raiding community and they were pretty intense. And when I immediately shifted over into roleplay after my raiding team kind of dissolved, I bounced through a few different roleplay groups trying to find something that felt comfortable and engaging for me. And both in World of Warcraft and in Final Fantasy, I had worked through different communities that some of them had differing views on how female characters should look or act or integrate. And not all of that worked for me. And so I pretty summarily moved on from those. You know, I guess I've had, and I'll call it the good fortune, to find myself in communities that go out of their way to incorporate aspects of femininity without negative connotations. You hear horror stories of like women joining D&D groups and immediately just, it's like the group suddenly pivots over to like assault and just awful things like that. And the women are just sitting there like, what the fuck? You know, like, what is going on? Like, why is this something you want to incorporate? And I've never had that issue before. All the people that I keep around my life in RP settings are people who genuinely are interested and value the women that are around them and make an effort to involve them and include them in just like leisurely activities and decision-making processes. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I just kind of got lucky.
No, yeah. I mean, I think that's a great thing. And I think it speaks a lot, especially in recent years, mm-hmm. that there are more groups who tend to be a little more inclusive.
Which I think is great.
Yeah, it's definitely moving in that direction, which is something that I do love for the hobby as a whole. If you had to give advice to someone, especially women, but just anyone in general who wants to get into either tabletop role playing or MMO role playing, what would that be?
It would be to be deliberate in knowing what it is you are looking for and being firm about maintaining that goal for yourself. If you want something that's really like strategic and you really do just care about like solving puzzles and doing combat and that sort of thing, if you get into like a really kind of flowery roleplay setting, you might not be as happy, or vice versa. And trying to keep yourself somewhere that you're not totally happy in because you're not sure if you're going to be able to find something else. I want to just reassure anybody in that situation, the world's massive. There will be a group that is better suited to your playstyle and your personality. And if you get along great in some forms or fashions, you can still maintain relationships with those people, even if you don't immediately play with them every week. So don't allow yourself to get caught up in a sunken cost fallacy. This should be for fun. And if you aren't having fun, you should move on to try and find something that's better for you.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice, just for anyone. What has been your favorite part for you specifically, either MMO or TTRPGs, just the role-playing community as a whole? Your favorite experience both in-game as well as out-of-game and just with the community as a whole?
I think my favorite element of it is the aspect of collaborative storytelling. I am one person with one lived experience, and there is a whole world of opportunity out there, and it's nice to be able to create something new and exciting and unique with somebody else who has a totally different perspective. And together you can come together and make something really incredible that you might not have ever been able to do on your own. You can make some great lasting friendships based on some really incredible stories, and that kind of thing isn't just something that goes away, you know, like that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a great answer, and that is very true. I mean, that's why I DM and why we all do the podcast, is because we like making something.
Yeah, that's together, the best part about it for me. Yeah.
Do you have any fun like D&D stories that you'd like to share before we wrap this? Or MMO stories, either one.
Sure, I can share one really quickly. So it's the same character, Rosie, a tiefling warlock, who has a habit of trying to make friends everywhere she goes. No matter what, if there's a problem to be solved, she believes she can solve it with a power of friendship. And she pulled it off. We were adventuring, me and my party, in a hag's lair. We're trying to solve the mystery of Shinalestra, a city caught in a time loop. And it took ages for us to work out because there were a lot of layers to it, but we finally figured out it was a hag behind everything. We made it into her lair. We finally got through this portal that took us into her workshop in the Astral Sea. As we were getting through there, the rogue finds this, like, golden egg. It looks like a dragon's egg, almost, and my character immediately goes like, oh my god, it's a lost baby? It's mine now. And so she literally, like, made a kangaroo pouch in her coat to wear it. Our cleric was a little wary. He's like, Rosie, that has really big necromantic vibes. I think you should put it down. And Rosie's like, no, this is my child now. Absolutely not. Like, this is mine. I'll care for it until the day I die. So we get into the hag's lair, and Rosie sees a lich-looking dude across the way who immediately locks eyes on her and starts talking to her in her head like, that thing is mine. You need to give it to me. So throughout the course of them negotiating the terms of how she might hand this thing over, the lich gets pushed off a ledge. She jumps over afterwards. He says, give it to me. And she goes, okay, but if we're going to give it to you, you have to give us our life. And he goes, fine, done. She goes, no, pinky promised me about it. And so they pinky promised. So she gives over the egg. The druid later got disintegrated. It was horrible. It was sudden. We were horrified because, like, she's an archfey. We're in the fey wilds to reclaim her kingdom. Oh, God. Oh, no. Well, here comes the lich tearing in, who suddenly, like, oh, God, the deal that I made has suddenly fallen through because I was meant to give you your life and this person is dead. So he puts the druid back together again and he goes, so our business is concluded here, right? And Rosie's like, no, I don't think we were, actually. I don't recall ever saying that there was an expiration date. You just keep giving us our life. And he just, Lich just kind of stood there for a long minute like, you little shit. And she's standing there all pink and smiling like, and he agreed to it. They pinky promised. It's done. And so that's the story of how she got a lich granddaddy as her best friend and is functionally immortal because if she's going to bite it, he's going to have to come and put her back together again.
That's incredible.
She absolutely solved that problem with the power of friendship and will maintain until the end of time that anything is possible with that.
I don't know if it's the power of friendship or the power of very manipulative deal making, but either way, it's incredible.
It's a bit of both. She was so good at that. I loved playing her.
She sounds so, yeah, very fun.
That's my favorite D&D story to tell.
It's a very good D&D story. Well, before we hop off, is there anything you would like to plug? Twitter, Instagram, anything at all? Or are you good?
I mean, if people feel like following me on Twitter, they can. I'm Days Before Dawn, DaysBeforeDawn. Though it's mostly just a personal Twitter. So,
well, it's been amazing talking to you and meeting you. I know that, you know, Steph and Kat already knew you, and I'm very sorry to them that they did not get to come and take part in this conversation, but it's been awesome getting to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity to come in and chat.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope that I will get to talk to you in the future.
Thanks for listening to Crit Like a Girl. Cover art by Chester Cat. Opening and closing music by Brian Dockery. Background music from Freesound, Incompetech, and Tabletop Audio. Follow us on Twitter at Crit Like a Girl. That's girl without the I. Don't forget to check out our Ko-Fi where you can support the show and your favorite adventurers. If you have any questions, suggestions, or recommendations, email us at critlikeagirlpod@gmail.com.